thing that I'm pretty sure Tarpley gets this point across. Otherwise, I forget where I learned it. But that you know, when they were trying to figure out how do we take over or get into a safer, more strategic zone of operation, where they had their eyes set towards the British Isles, you had a big fight, whether between these factions, the older school factions that wanted to just keep doing things as they had been doing them for hundreds of years, which is just suppress the power of creative mentation in your target audience. Just suppress truth, suppress scientific discoveries, and you know, call scientists heretics, burn them if need be, just crush it. And then the other grouping realized that that's a little bit overly messy, and the genie kind of already blew out of the bottle, and you can't really—it's not so easy just to put that away or force it back into the bottle. This is like during the time after in the wake of the Renaissance, where it became through the teaching of orphans, you know, like kids who weren't born of noble blood. Kids who, you know, didn't even know who their parents were being trained by the Brotherhood of the Common Life through the various monasteries to learn ancient Greek, learn Latin, translate. And as they did that, they cultivated within themselves their deeper powers of their own natural genius. And they became the intelligentsia that was working in opposition to this Dark Age faction that wanted to just bring back this feudal, you know, system of master-slave society. And people like Leonardo da Vinci came out of this process and was making pioneering breakthroughs in every single field he put his mind to, whether it was astronomy or engineering or the arts, painting, music, architecture. Breakthroughs were being made because he had access to his full self-conscious creativity. And it was not just him. He was a good paragon of it. But this was like blossoming. And institutions were being created to carry it forward to more generations. This was like a mortal threat to the empire. And so while one group was like, no, we just got to smash, the other grouping, which was the Giovanni faction around this figure named Paolo Sarpi, realized, well, no, I think we need to take a more subtle, nuanced approach here, guys. And basically they were like, well, if you can't destroy, we can't destroy the discoveries directly. What we can do is say we love the discoveries. We could say we encourage them. We're actually the team of discoveries. That's us. And then we'll repackage them and tell and control the narrative of how discoveries happen. And we'll call it empiricism. We'll say the way discoveries happen is you use your senses. Maybe you get lucky and an apple falls on your head. And then a formula that describes how the rate of fall of the apple can be created that people can memorize and repeat to get an effect. But the actual cause of the human discovery that went into it, we'll just extract that so nobody ever gets to learn how that works. And they're just repeating formulas thinking that they get knowledge. And that really did a lot of damage. But that's what became the dominant force. And this also explains why a lot of the leading Enlightenment thinkers like Descartes were also rabid mystical freaks. Like they were all into Gnostic, Rosicrucian mysticism, because they themselves weren't great discoverers. They were just synthetic cardboard cutouts who are created because somebody has to have made the discovery, right? We've already killed or at least obscured the people who were the Da Vinci's, the Keplers, the Huygens, the Fermat's, all the great discoverers. We've obscured them enough. We've stolen their discoveries. We've given it, we have to package it now
and create,
appropriate it. Reappropriate it and associate it with some dyslexic amoral freak, whether it's an Isaac Newton who was into black magic, alchemy, witchcraft. And that's not me. I'm not slandering.
There's arguments that he was a pedophile and stuff. Like there is some strange. Yeah, possibly. Like it's when you look at and then there's the war between him and Leibniz, which is sort of artificially created and set up. I mean,
war of calculus.
Oh, just like where it came from. And but to your point, Matthew, I mean, just the idea of all these most of the great thinkers were into very secret societies, Gnostic ideas, Rosicrucian ideas, Hermetic ideas, Platonic ideas, Aristotle. Yeah. I mean, it's just and Aristotle, interestingly enough, was sort of a champion of induction, and the inductive method is what that sort of generates that creative capacity. You know, it's they go about thinking about the world and experiencing the world and coming to some. Instead, they imposed a sort of deductive hegemony on it, which is said, no, we come up with the solutions now. here's how the world, here's how we're going to dictate the truths that are coming into the Renaissance that have already started to sort of permeate from the 12th century onward, or 11th century, or excuse me, the 13th century onward. You know, like you maybe think of an analogy real quick of Beatrice Webb, like the Aura and the Fabian strategist, like the great Fabian strategist, Beatrice Webb, I'm forgetting the other one, whereas one wanted to kill him with kindness, one wanted to just kill them. And so it's like, how do we mix the two together? And I just thought of that analogy when you're talking about the what was going on with the Venetian hierarchy in regards to how to manage it.
Yeah, right. Sarpi's secret society, I think it was called the Venetian Dead Souls faction, and that source of that would be
he didn't call Kurt it that. Russell's